As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine, and it didn't take place at 2 o'clock.
What time did it take place?
Noon.
Okay, well, I had that wrong, too. So I saw the agenda yesterday. It had one sentence in it, so I figured, things could do anything,
well,
dream.
Well, and I think that was a change in time frame because when I listened in, Cheryl Musson was saying she was sorry she was late, that she hadn't realized the time change or something. So, right. Anyway, it ended up being at noon. So if you want to talk about that now, that's what we'll do.
Let's do that. That's a big breaking news today. The election results aren't going anywhere, and by 4:10 on a Wednesday, you got to know those results if that's something that you're really into. So let's go with the big news today. A noon commissioners meeting, one item only on the agenda, the Monroe Convention Center. That was it. No who's going to talk, what's going on or anything else. So take it away.
Well, I will just say that at the first meeting that they had at the county commissioners earlier in the day. Of course, that starts at 10 o'clock, and on their agenda, something about the convention center. And they had a vote today on an ordinance to put in place a capital improvement board. Now, if you remember, the mayor said, well, he was, he'd rather have the 501 C3, and others are saying, no, that'd be capital improvement board. Well, we were not told what was going to be in this ordinance or even that all of this was going to happen this morning. However, I still think, even though the way it came about and so forth might have been a little concerning for some people who really like to know about things well in advance, we don't always have that opportunity. But what I'm seeing here is a pathway forward. As one person mentioned, I think it was Council Member McKim, that what he really saw was this was moving away an obstacle and putting away in place a pathway forward, or just something to that sort. In other words, this is what the commissioners are willing to work toward. And we had worked on using a capital improvement board back before it all fell apart, before the COVID situation. And so now they're putting that back together and saying, this is what the county wants. But what they are saying is they want an approval for this ordinance coming from the city council and from the mayor, and it appears also from the county council, so that before they would move forward and start making this like a done deal, that everybody who has to make decisions on this is saying, yes, we'll do it. As far as what this is just saying is they will use the Capital Improvement Board as a method to move forward.
So, and they want everybody on the record with their vote, it sounds like.
Right, because why push really hard and then have it stopped by somebody who says, I'm not going to do that. Well, then why do we spend all this legal time and staff time and people's
why
time?
Why do we think the CIB that failed, probably failed isn't the right, well, maybe it is the right word. It didn't work the first time. Why do we think it's going to work this time?
Well, the key thing, and they were really ready to work, and I'm thinking, I thought there was a disagreement about who's going to have what property and so forth.
Yeah.
Isn't that as you would call it? But in this agreement, it makes it clear that the Capital Improvement Board will determine. Now, I don't have this memorized because I just got it.
That's all right.
It appears the Capital Improvement Board will decide where the site is to be and the design and be over constructions and operations. And so this board will make a lot of that decisions instead of having the city and county always back and forth. Now, that's what it appears that they're saying. So,
if that is the case, does that take more more off of their plate so they can work on other business, or does it add more to a plate that we thought? That's where I get confused here. I thought that everybody's way too busy for everything that's going on. So, how is that going to work itself out?
Oh, I think it has a lot more than people are busy. It has a lot to do with they were just not agreeing on things. A part of the whereas is, of course, this is, you know, all whereas this and whereas that. It says commissioners do not support the creation of a 501c3 because a lack of legally required transparency, the lack of tort claim liability protection, and risks that are associated with the flexibility provided to a 501c3. So I certainly am not in favor, just on a personal level, of having it to be a 501c3. And I think everybody knows that's how I feel about it. I think the Capital Improvement Board gives a lot more protection to the taxpayer because this is truly still public dollars. We could say it's for this or that, whatever it is. It is public dollars, and it should be very transparent, and everything that they do in their budgets and their spending should follow the guidelines. And I think we have a lot more chance of that happening with the CIB. Now, it appeared to me, because we had others speaking to it, the mayor and Ms. Carmichael was not real happy with the way it was being presented because there was no passing out of this information well in advance so people could study it. So people were trying to look at it and be a part of the conversation at the same time. I get it. I understand. That's difficult. It's happened to me before.
I was going to say, if anybody has any more experience than you in that field, I would be shocked.
Yeah, right. So, but if it is, if indeed, after everyone has studied all the small print, if they can say, look, this gives us a way to start moving forward, then it's going to take all these groups together anyway to make all this work. I mean, it just isn't going to happen without that. I personally am very concerned about any board that is not elected to be allowed to put in place a huge bond that requires others to be responsible to pay the bill. And so I'm just hoping that when we're through at the end of the day, that any major, this big bond will come back to the elected officials to vote on the bond. And then because those people are elected by the public to represent them.
Who would sit on a capital improvement board, Marty, for those who don't understand it perhaps as well as you do?
Well, okay, there's going to be 6 members, and 3 of them will be appointed by the city, and 3 will be appointed by the county. And then it says, and here's where it bothers me just a little bit, it says then those six members appointed shall recommend the 7th appointment. Okay, now what does that say to you?
Who do you recommend it to?
Recommend to who?
Yeah.
Who decides on that recommendation?
Right.
I'm thinking, well, is this supposed to be a trick question or what? Anyway, you know, I like to just go in and look at every word and say about them what happens. Because, you know, in real estate, that's what you have to do. You have to make sure that there is always an end result. Either something works or it doesn't, and you have to state how it's going to work. So it makes me want to pick apart everything that's written. But to just have this on the table and have it be something that the city can look at and the county can look at, and, you know, if the city council, which is a legislative body, remember, the mayor is not the legislative body. He can't legislate anything.
Correct.
It's up to the city council. So if the city council says they're willing to move forward using this method to do it, And if the county council says so, and we've got the commissioners who've already said yes, then, and hopefully the mayor would say yes too, because remember, it takes those appointments to that tax, food and beverage tax group that will also have to vote on any expenditure. Now, I'm sure it would be set up in such a way, that was really the tricky part, was they cannot get around legislation that really brings it back to the Food and Beverage Tax Commission. So there's bound to be something that they'll put in there that all of it will work together. Are we having fun with this yet?
Well, I'm taking it all in, and I'm trying to think, and I'm glad Marty Hawk is with us, the county councilwoman. The difference between the CIB and a 501c3 from a legality standpoint, what was the big concern of why the commissioners went in that direction as opposed to playing along with the 501c3?
Well, because the state legislature put together the rules that we have to have for the CIB. So we have to follow those rules, and it will all be open and budgets open for the state to review, et cetera.
Gotcha.
Whereas if it's a nonprofit, there might not be as much protection for the public in that. So it just seems to me that the CIB is a much safer way to go. Now, I'm sure lawyers could come in on here and argue that that's all just a misunderstanding and we could do it and whatever, but many of these larger projects done in other areas are done with the CIB, and it is tied to what the state says it has to be, if anybody's really paying attention.
So that brings it brings a net with it, so to speak.
Right. Right. It is supposed to be something that will help protect the public. So I'm just hoping that if this all works out, that we'll put people on that board that, it to me, they really need to have be very involved in understanding how financing works and understanding about construction and equipment and operating and maintaining these capital improvements. And that's a part of Section 5 in this ordinance. But it does say that they both agree, the city and the commissioners both agree to provide the requisite land and facilities for the project. And so they're agreeing, if they agree to this, they're saying they're going to provide this land, and that the commissioners will vow to work with colleagues at the city to transfer the necessary real property for the actual expansion.
So now, that's the compromise, huh?
Well, remember, the city wanted it all.
That's right.
And the county said no, only what is needed for the expansion. So remember, there was that difference. So now they're saying if it's needed for the actual expansion, then that's what we're going to work with. So.
Well, that is interesting, because the city, we've heard the vibes from there. At some point, we'll just go it alone. If you guys don't want to go with us, we have the land, we have this, we have that. So,
but they did not have. It appeared to me they thought they had control of the revenue from the innkeeper's tax. They do not have that. The innkeeper's tax, by law, is the innkeepers, before they can spend dollars out of those tourism dollars, those budgets are voted on by the county council. We're required to. And the appointments to the innkeepers, to that, the tourism commission, is controlled by this county council and the commissioners, and the city does not have an appointment, even though a few years ago they thought, they ought to have one of those appointments. You can't just change that. You have to let the state change the legislation. I mean, we didn't write this up. Somebody went to the state years ago and said, state, will you allow us to have an innkeeper's tax? Here's what we wanted to say. They wrote this up. That's the law. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, if you want it changed, somebody else has to go to the state and say, hey, we don't like this. Could you change it? So We can't just make it up as we go, even though I know not too long ago, even though the Indiana code said we had to have two readings of the budget.
Well, that's where I was going. Yeah, I was going to.
It's like, well, you know, I don't know whether it's the Indiana code just a suggestion or is it the law?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Spirit or the letter of, and we can get into it, like you mentioned earlier, depends on how many lawyers we get in the room to tell you what it can or can't be. So, Marty, let's just say, hypothetically, the all the players say, okay, we've heard now what the commissioners want. We know that the CIB, that's what the direct, and they say, yes, let's make this happen. What is the next step?
Okay, well, the next step right now is for them to, yes, sign off on that, and they have to sign off on it no later than January 1 or becomes null and void. So it says since the project requires the city and
gotcha.
The county have the formation of the CIB and the need for speedy action, this ordinance is a contingent upon the terms of this ordinance by January 1. Now, if there's something in that ordinance that the city doesn't like, does that mean they'll come back and say, well, we'll agree to it, but change this and that?
Right.
And
that was going to be my next question. Any whiteout available?
Well, and that will be up to whatever anybody says. I mean, you know, this is something that the commissioner signed off on. Now, the mayor wasn't happy about it at all. For those who really want to see this move forward, this is getting something off of dead center. And it makes no sense for the city to move forward with a convention center on their property and think that they're going to come in and use the innkeeper's tax to operate it when that is not, that's not under their control.
Gotcha.
Now, I'm not saying that the people, the innkeepers, they might say, yes, we'll go along with that or whatever. No, but they still have to bring that budget to the county council. Bottom line is it really takes all of us working together to work out all the wrinkles, and we won't all of us like all of it. It's a matter of compromise. Oh, speaking of which, yes, we just went through a lot of time with a lot of people working real, real, real hard, putting their name on the ballot and working hard with their families and their supporters. And they wanted to be a part of making a change or putting forth what they felt like was a positive difference. And some didn't get that job done. But we shouldn't take away from the fact that many people worked really hard, long hours trying to get their voices heard so that we could have an opportunity to say we believe in the freedom of this country to have a free and fair election. Now, we do know that what we've been told so far is that Dave Hall was successful in his run for state representative, but at first it appeared that he had won by quite a lot. But then later on today, it was discovered there were 6,600 ballots that had not been counted. And so it was very close. It was less than 50 votes difference between Dave Hall and Penny Giffens.
In
62? I thought you meant 62 votes.
No.
Yes. Yes, and because remember, it wasn't just Monroe County. He had to get Brown County and part of Jackson County, and I don't have it all memorized. But at any rate, and he's worked this Monroe County really hard. But we have to remember that Penny Giffens had a heads up on Monroe County because people knew her name, and they did not know Dave Hall, and so he was a newcomer to this county, and he worked hard for those votes, and he had to work hard out in Brown County and pull it in from Jackson County, and it seems like there's a small part of another county, too. But at any rate, it looks as if, I think that number was 37 votes difference. Anyway, it was under 50 votes difference once they discovered there was 6,600 ballots that were early ballots that had not been counted. included in the numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that number right now. I'm terribly interested to see what that's going to be. 62. What I'm looking at, the Herald Times online says 99% estimated vote counted, and he has 12,067, and Penny Githens had 10,824.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. That was before Nicole Brown said, please do. Something's amiss here. Yeah, so now they found 6,600. So
6,600 ballots?
You know what? We need to look at it. At the end of the day, it was less than 50 votes difference between the two, according to what I read on the Beacon.
Gotcha. Well, if that's the case, then a recount is coming probably soon to a theater near you.
Do you really think there would be a recount on that? It might be.
I don't know. Somebody has to pay for it, don't they?
They sure do. Somebody asked, I know one time I lost by 8 votes, and everybody thought I should do a recount. And I said, no, I'm going to Florida to see my daughter, and those 8 people had a right to vote for however they wanted to, and I was out there. But it's tough to lose. It really is. I don't like losing.
No one likes
it. No fun. And you know what? Everybody said, well, you know, I thought Republicans might do better this year. I just want to encourage people to know that if we want to see some real activity going on, we need to fill the ballot. Because if they only have a few to choose from, people do not have as much emphasis to go out and try to make a difference. And many people will just stay home because they'll say, well, it wasn't that many to vote for. And even the ones it was, like I didn't have an opponent. Judy Sharp, the county assessor, didn't have an appointment. An opponent. I mean, I went in and voted for myself and came out and said, well, I just won that race.
Congratulations.
I mean, it was just one vote.
Sure.
And my dog wouldn't even go vote for me. But I'm just saying that, and then when that happens, there's just a lot of people that when they're getting ready to vote and they're going down the line, if there's no opponent, they don't even vote in that race. They think there's no point. So it's important. If we want to maintain our ability to have free and fair elections and to have a great debate going, I mean, and when I'm saying a great debate, that means a free and fair debate, not somebody who has already got all the answers that nobody else has been given the opportunity. And more I am convinced that sometimes we're not always as fair and open with one another as we ought to be.
Well, so, the state of Indiana did its usual in the Republican races, and the county of Monroe did what it usually does in its races on the Democrat side. So the more things don't change, the more things don't, well, they stay the same, I guess, would be the way to look at all of that.
But I will say that even though we didn't win as many races as locally, as I would like to have seen, it just pretty much means the commissioners will all stay the same. The county council will stay the same.
So that's a vote that tells everybody that on those who were reelected that that's a vote of confidence that they're doing exactly what the public wants. So that's the way.
I didn't have opposition. Kate Wills had no opposition. Jennifer Crossley had no opposition. See, if you don't fill the ballot, people don't even come out. Now, I understand it would be hard to win some of those races, but I would like to really see more people become involved, just because that's the way it works better for everyone.
Well, like you said, you got to sacrifice the time, the money, the effort, and everything else. And this day and age, I don't know. Sometimes it's easier not to.
And the fact of the matter is, unless you're self-employed, it's really hard to take that kind of time off.
Yep. From
what employer is going? So you look at the people in the county council, how many are working at a job
where they say you
have to work here 8 to 5?
Yeah, it's a systemic issue. That's what it is. It's set up. The only people that are worried about elections are the ones that aren't winning. That's it. Everybody else thinks it's great. it works out perfectly. But you've shown why you need to have contested elections and the pitfalls to getting on the ballot and campaigning and running for it. It's not for everyone, and maybe that's the problem. But I don't know. That could be a whole discussion for a whole another day, Marty.
A very long other day.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But you got to have discussions. When you don't have discussions, then nothing gets done. And then you get into, well, that's another discussion for another
day. And then they'll say, well, you didn't show up for this preferred debate. Well, you know what? Maybe if the people running debates weren't already set on how they were going to vote, other people would show up.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
You know, that's the whole thing.
It's a golden rule, Marty. Those who have the gold make the rules. It's nothing new, and we're not going to fix that today. But thank you for your update on the commissioners and meeting and this moving forward. Again, the ordinance has been presented for a capital improvement board and will need to be signed off on by January 1st, 2023. And, well, we'll hear more about this as the weeks and days continue, but it is something is moving in some direction depending on which angle you view this.
Right. It appeared that Councilmember Jeff McKim and Councilmember Cheryl Munson, who were representing the group that was meeting, were both in favor of using this ordinance, this capital improvement board, as well as Susan Sandberg sounded as if she would have been happy with it. So, and all three commissioners would be. So, see, we're moving. Maybe baby steps, but it seems to me this is a big movement.
Sounds great, Marty. Great job. Thanks for the update. And who knows what we'll talk about next Wednesday, but I bet we'll have a full agenda as we always do.
Oh, there's always something.
Ah.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.